Hey, that's me. What's up? What's the good word? How are you? Great to be with you on this Monday edition of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial. We're also on the FM dial per usual as well at 98.5. And of course online at hubcityradio.com. Facebook streaming, facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. You can check out our ugly mugs there. A couple of dudes with faces for radio here in studio inside the Fox Sports Aberdeen studios. And of course, you can download the Hub City Radio app today or the 605 radio app today, and you can take us wherever you go. My name is David Tewksbury, joined alongside by the man we call the Cobra. He is Matt McClure. Good morning, sir. How's your Monday going so far?
Doing pretty good. How was your weekend? Pretty good?
It was busy. It was definitely busy. You want to know why I was busy? Because I've got, 13 pages of stuff to go over here?
Yes.
Again, I can start right now, and you cannot talk for the next hour. We're not going to get to all of it. So it was a very, very busy weekend. I was in St. Cloud doing the Northern matchups against the Huskies there on Saturday. Also, ironically enough, the Northern State softball teams were in St. Cloud this last weekend in the bubble as well.
Sweet.
And I'm putting together the sports, and I'm like, softball already? First week of February?
It's pretty good.
I couldn't believe it.
That's really good.
Yeah.
I saw on the website, the sports on the website, I saw Northern State softball. I couldn't believe it. February 4th? Doing softball? Are you kidding me?
Well, when you do have this beautiful thing called a dome, you can get it all taken care of.
Okay.
Totally get that, but still, I just wasn't even thinking. I wasn't even in softball mode, but evidently, the players wearing maroon and gold sure were, and they're off to a great start. They won 5 of their first 6 games over the weekend, so a great start for them. And, you know, you can't really ask for too much more than that.
No, and to get 6 games in the start of the year is pretty good, too. That's just nonstop softball, it seems like, this past weekend.
Yeah, no doubt. So we'll talk about that here on the show. So looking forward to that conversation with yours truly and Matt McClure from the softball side of things. Got some really solid pitching performances. And when the pitching wasn't exactly the best, the offense was really, really heating up. So we'll talk about that and so much more on today's edition of the program. We've got the jump here in just a couple more minutes on the show as well, and also a loaded weekend on the high school, college, and not so much on the pro side of things, which was kind of an interesting change of pace because this was the first weekend without football since August, give or take, late August or so, and to be honest with you, I was okay with it.
You didn't watch the Pro Bowl? Are you kidding me?
Can you believe it? I, a psycho football fan... Even I did not watch
the
Pro Bowl.
You didn't watch the Pro Bowl flag football? Really?
I know. I can't believe it.
Wow. Yeah, I'm with you. It was weird not having football on, but I was with you. I'm also with you. Like, I wasn't like, oh, my gosh, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't. I was like, oh, this isn't bad.
I completely agree, and I don't know why this is the case, but I saw people talking about this on Twitter even last week before Championship Sunday with the Chiefs and the Ravens, sorry to bring it up, and also the 49ers and the Lions. This year overall in the NFL has just kind of felt like, yeah, it's there. I'm watching games, don't get me wrong, and obviously your Ravens had a great season, don't get me wrong, but it just felt like this NFL season kind of lacked some pop, and I don't know what that is.
I think it's because the offenses weren't very good. I mean, how many low-scoring games did we see this year in the NFL? Or just, like, incompetent offense?
Yeah, you know, I don't know what to
make
of that.
Or quarterback play? I mean, half the league was out of quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Think about all the backups that played. You didn't have, like, a lot of the number one guys that were due to injury. That's my thoughts on it. Now, am I upset that football's gone? Sure, because you got to wait till August, but I'm with you. I don't know. I think the big reason why I think it was just is because offenses stunk and the quarterbacks weren't very good either.
And I felt like more often than not, when we open up these mics on a Monday morning, we're talking about, man, did you see that call they blew on Sunday? Oh, Sunday Night Football. How do you miss that call? And just, boy, that what's roughing the pat? What's a catch? It's just every single
good
time
point.
There's a new complete bungled call, and it just felt like there were so many times this season, and well, don't want to get ahead of ourselves. The season isn't over yet. How many times can we get another call in a Super Bowl?
There's going to be one. You know there's going to be one, maybe two, at big spots in that game on Sunday.
Yeah, one team is going to be either up by four or up by five, and the other team is going to be driving. They get a big sack on third down. Oh, illegal contact. Up, hands to the face or holding. You get these five-yard automatic first downs on third and 17.
Those are the worst penalties ever because it could be, like, not even in the play.
Yeah.
Like, the opposite side of the field holding, and let's say the quarterback throws it the opposite side. You're like, that had nothing to do with the play at all.
And it happens all the time.
On third down.
And 17 to go, and they threw a screen pass the other direction. It's just like, the old bubble screen on 3rd and 18. They'll never see it coming. We're totally going to get it this time, too, for real. So, I don't know. We'll see how it all plays out coming up next week. But, yeah, Super Bowl week between KC as well as the 49ers. All right, let's go ahead and get to the jump. I'm David Tewksbury.
Mr. Unlimited.
With that young man right there, right across from me, Mr. Unlimited. And like you mentioned to me, just a few short moments ago, what, you did not watch the Pro Bowl? No, I didn't. I didn't watch the Pro Bowl. Can we just go ahead and stop with the Pro Bowl? And I am, again, football's my number one. It was the first sport that was introduced to me when I was just a little tyke. And now until my early 30s, it's still number one. But if you have a guy like me that's not invested in the Pro Bowl, you know your product sucks. You know your product is awful. Because I'll buy anything football. And even I, the football psychopath here that says, you know what? Nah, not for me anymore. You know you've got a problem, right?
I wasn't into the Pro Bowl at all. Once they switched it to flag football, I mean, you're taking it at, you know, I understand you don't want guys to get hurt, but they're doing all kinds of different things. They're trying to make it fun, but I don't know. I'm just not into it at all. Just give people awards and move on. Let's not do this Pro Bowl thing. I'm with you.
Yeah, it's been a long time since it's been relevant, if that's the right word, entertaining. At least for me anyway, what's entertaining for some, maybe not entertaining for others.
What pops into my head is when Sean Taylor knocked the lights out of that punter on the fourth down.
Brian Moorman?
Yeah.
I remember that. I had a buddy of mine, my friend Danny. Big shout out to Danny King. We were watching the Pro Bowl because, again, Danny, much like I, total football psychopaths, were in his basement. We're drinking Pepsis. We're also just hammering down some Home Run Inn. Have you ever eaten Home Run Inn pizza before?
No.
Oh, man, you got to get that at some point in time. But we were still in high school at the time, so we're drinking a lot of caffeine. And we're eating a lot of chips. We're hammering down home run in pizza. It's our final last gasp of football season at the Pro Bowl. And we watched the Brian Moorman, Sean Taylor hit. And we were both just high-fiving each other. This is great. Oh, I love it. And now, what are we talking about? We're talking about a dodgeball competition. What are we doing here?
Kickers playing tic-tac-toe.
Please.
Which I think is pretty impressive, by the way.
It's kind of a cool idea. I'm not going to give
that's actually a nice idea. But yeah. Dodgeball, I do think it is pretty funny, though, that they have the coaches mic'd up on the sideline.
Sure.
And Ray Lewis was like the AFC defensive coordinator, and he was just going ballistic all game.
Was he?
It was pretty funny.
I haven't seen a whole lot of clips on Twitter, so I've punted on the Pro Bowl. I really have.
I didn't even know who won.
I guess the NFC won. I heard that on the update this morning that the NFC won. So yeah. I was like, oh, okay.
Cool.
Nice. I can't wait to not watch the highlights on that one. Pro Bowl flag football.
You didn't
football.
See the laterals at the end of the game? Oh,
yeah.
Geez.
Must have missed that one. Speaking of things to miss, free throws, a big, big deal. High school, college, pro, doesn't matter how you get the free throws done and taken care of. But we talked about this. We are, I think, both simpatico on this one, my man. When it comes to free throw distractions, we are all in.
Yes.
Whether it's the, what do they call them, the baseline babes for Northern State and the I Hate Winter deal, or the guy in Mitchell at Dakota Wesleyan, the topless guy, just jumping up and down that baseline. I saw this over the weekend. It was Cleveland State against Oakland. A dude was getting a haircut.
I saw that.
For a free throw distraction. How about that? That's a first, right?
I've never seen anything like that before. That is awesome.
Can you imagine?
Well, you got to do a buzz cut in that situation.
For sure, you have to. You can't break out the Clippers and they're, you know, got the moose there. And so, well, how's your day going today, sir?
Take a couple dribbles. You look up, you see that. I'd be shook. Absolutely shook.
Big time. And it was kind of ironic because at the time of it happening, it was a 61-42 game. Are you willing to go away from your mop of hair in a 19-point ball game?
It's not even like it was a 1 or 2 point game, tie game. The game was over at that point.
Oh, my goodness. 61-42, it was happening there, and pretty wild how that all worked out. And
I like the guys who are cutting his hair. They're all, like, bald, pretty much bald, and have a buzz. He's, like, initiating him into the buzz cut.
All a bunch of shirtless dudes just having an absolute blast. What's the new thing? I mean, we talked about it from, was it last week? There was the Speedo team or the swimming and diving team.
That was really good, too.
With the Speedos. Okay, so I see you in your Speedos. I raise you a haircut. So
next week we'll see something different.
I hope we do. This is taking on a life of its own now, and I am all in on that. Speaking of all in on, I saw this on Saturday. I was on my way home from the St. Cloud doubleheader for a little Northern State flair, and I was seeing this even before the game itself. A big shout-out goes to Dakota Lindworm, former Northern State cross-country gal. She has officially taken third at the U.S. Olympic Marathon Trials, 2 hours and 25 minutes. All of those 130-plus mile weeks paid off, says Citrus Mag. That's on Twitter there. So she is headed to Paris.
Awesome.
So apparently she was a walk-on back in the day. I don't recall her being a walk-on, but she, I'm pretty sure we've had her on the Sports Hub before in years past. It's been a while. Obviously, she's graduated since graduated. But she is headed to Paris. How about that?
That is awesome. That is awesome. All the grit, determination, the training sessions you mentioned, all the 100-mile weeks, which is insanity. Can you imagine? I can't even imagine doing that in a month. I think the most I've ever run in a month, which I'm super proud of, is 83 miles in a month.
Wow.
That was a couple years ago.
That's really good.
Yeah, that was the most ever. Like, and I'm talking, that was running 3 to 4 miles 4 or 5 days a week with a long run at the end of the week.
Wow.
But 100 miles, and like, you're doing that from a week-to-week basis.
Yeah.
I mean, they make that look so easy. That's the crazy thing. I'm dead after 83 miles in a month. I had to take about, I'm still taking off. How about that? And we're a couple years down the road. They can do it the next week.
Yeah, you're the old, not suspended indefinitely, but you're on the indefinite injury list.
Yes.
Yeah, that's totally fair. And probably the most that I've ran in a month, if I had to guess, it's probably around, I don't know, somewhere between 15 to 20. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's about it.
Yeah, so. I was really into it. I was putting in like 15 to 20 mile weeks, and it just kept on accumulating. And then I'm like, oh, let me test my 6 miles. And then I think the most I ran, but this is when I was still living in Sisseton, it was 7 miles, and I hurt my back.
Sure.
And that was like the end of the 83 miles.
Yeah.
And now I haven't run since, really.
Wow.
Like that long distance. I'm trying to get back into it because I felt so good, but it's just so hard, you know?
That is incredible. And a pretty good time for her. She finished third. So
I mean, and also to run a marathon in two and change is unbelievable.
That's nuts. I can't even run a half marathon. Can't even run a third.
No.
Can't even run down to the hallway, for God's sake. So good on her, and congratulations. We'll see her across the pond in Paris. Coming up next on the show, we're talking some high school athletics from the weekend, a loaded high school weekend on the high school basketball and wrestling side of things. We'll talk about that and more. Plus, I was traveling to St. Cloud on Friday night. I had my earbuds in. I was listening to Sunny 97.7. Big matchup there on Friday night as Central would take on number 2 Harrisburg. We'll talk about that and much more coming up next right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Stay tuned. Back on this Monday edition of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, and the Cobra over here is showing his stats to me in terms of running back in the day. Very, very impressive, sir.
Yeah, 2022, it was a lot of running. We went through it. It was 86.10 in October.
It's impressive.
See.
Dakota
but
Lindworm,
not,
look out.
Yeah.
Matt McClure's coming for you.
I'm coming for Paris.
Yeah, I'm just – blown away by some of those numbers, but these athletes and even you to a certain degree with those numbers there too.
Yeah, but they're also doing it time. I'm just trying to finish.
Trying to do it. Yeah. No doubt. Well, speaking of trying to finish, Aberdeen Central, I had the earbuds in on my way into St. Cloud on Friday night. And I'm thinking to myself, that's just it. That's the key word right now is finish. And we'll talk about that one right here and right now to get us started. From this last Friday night, Aberdeen Central would go at home to take on that Harrisburg squad. We had Brent Norberg on the program on Friday, and we said this would be a tough matchup for them, a really good opportunity to maybe get a run started. And it's like, that sounds great, but can you prove it? Can you prove it against a really good team in Harrisburg that was 9-2 coming into this one? And doggone it, they proved it. 56-54, the final score there.
Yeah, an awesome game, an awesome environment, and Grant Fritz, 23-7. He was almost unguardable one-on-one. Cam Phipps had a big game for Harrisburg as well. That was just the matchup of the night, Phipps versus Fritz. Mm-hmm. I kept on messing up, like, oh, Phipps and Fritz. It's kind of hard to – I was getting tongue-tied a little bit. But anyway, Grant Fritz out of the post was just incredible. And how about that dunk he had over Phipps in a big spot? Central was down 2 at the time, out of a timeout. They needed a basket there. And, you know, it was a little give and go with Carlson and Fritz. And he finished at the rim. And then Jet Carlson, speaking to him, drains a left wing 3 at the end of that game. And Aberdeen Central holds on at the end after Harrisburg had a couple cracks at it down the stretch. They finished the game, which they didn't do against Pierre a couple weeks ago. And I think that team's got a ton of confidence right now. And now the schedule gets a little bit tougher. They go at Mitchell tomorrow. So we'll have to see how that one shakes out.
And that's just it. You got Jet Carlson, a dude out there that's committed to play football for Northern State coming up next year, hitting that game-winning, essentially game-winning go-ahead three-pointer there with less than a minute to go. And it sounds like to me this is a pretty close Aberdeen Central basketball team. They're just a bunch of buddies hanging out. They're very, very close off of the floor there as well. And for some of these guys, basketball is their number one, but for most of them, they're just great multi-sport athletes.
Yep. Yeah. Parker Lamar, Jet Carlson, Oliver Reif, all those guys play football, all three major contributors on this team. And I think they really like playing with each other. Cam Fouth, who also is committed to play soccer in college somewhere as well. So they got a lot of different guys that maybe basketball isn't their number one, but they're great athletes. And Grant Fritz, who is, you know, a guy that Brent Norberg has talked a lot about. We talked to him on Friday, a guy that really worked his tail off, put on some muscle, put on some weight. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, he's got an unorthodox game in the post. But I'll tell you what, he has got great footwork. He has this specialty up and under move layup with the left, and no one can seem to guard it. And he was awesome there last night or Friday night. And that was just a big team win. And that's a good Harrisburg team. They got three guys that average double figures. And their big players really stepped up. Phipps had 20. Also, Jacoby Merman with 17. But Van Bokren was that kind of third guy that's their second leading scorer. He finished in single digits. I think that was the key. And I think Harrisburg also, they just didn't shoot the ball well from outside. And that gave Aberdeen Central more confidence as the game waned. And they finished there down the stretch. Awesome win.
There was a guy from Aberdeen Christian, played at Presentation College, named Jackson Becker. Probably the best footwork I've ever seen out of a post player. And what you're saying to me kind of describes a little bit like his game. But, you know, did you ever see the movie Little Giants back in the day?
I've heard of it. I've seen parts of it.
Okay, there is a great locker room speech, of course. This is not real life. It's Hollywood. You know, there's these locker room speeches and what have you. And the Little Giants were playing the Dallas Cowboys, essentially. And it's kind of one of those situations where they had zero chance going into the game. Mm-hmm. But the coach is saying, you know, when it was my brother and I, we were always playing each other back in the day. You know, he would beat up on me 99 times out of 100. But there was always that one time. Feels like this might have been one of those one or two times where Aberdeen Central beats a team. I mean, not trying to take anything away from them, but Harrisburg this season has had an incredible season. But like you said, they just had an off day. This just might be kind of that one time, you know?
Yeah, I think that's very fair to say. I think Harrisburg rolled up to the gym and was like, hey, we're just going to play our game. We're going to, you know, if you don't bring your A game against a team like Aberdeen Central, you're going to get beat because this is a tight-knit team that plays together and they're starting to find some confidence offensively. I think Harrisburg, They came out flat to start. Mm-hmm. Aberdeen Central took advantage. They scored 18 points in the first quarter. That really set the tone of the whole game. Both teams struggled a little bit in the second. Harrisburg made their run in the third. But every time it looked like Harrisburg was going to add on to their run, Aberdeen Central responded, and then they closed it out in the fourth. An awesome win for that program and a team that's really had a great season. I mean, to be 7-7 after 14 games, when I talked to Harrisburg coaches pregame, he said, yeah, this might be a rebuild year for Aberdeen Central. No. This team's playing to win, and they're playing really good right now.
And they won 6 games last year.
Yes.
So they've won 7 already this year.
And Grant Frentz mentioned that on the postgame.
He did.
Was like, hey, we got 7. We just got to keep it going.
Yeah, there you go. He had 23 points and 7 rebounds to pace that Aberdeen Central charge. Jet Carlson with 11. Brendan Phillips didn't shoot his best, but still dropped in 9 points in that victory. And you kind of joke about being tongue-tied. I remember being tongue-tied against Winona State, Northern State against Winona. They had 2 guys, one named Connor Dillon, one guy named Declan Dillon, and then Northern, of course, has Josh Dilling. So you talk about getting tongue-tied.
That's when you just got to start calling them by their first name.
Yeah. Rebound to Josh. Nice play by Declan. There you go. But great win there for Aberdeen Central. Again, back at it on the road tomorrow down south in Mitchell. Also on the boys' side of things, this one was a little bit of an eyebrow raiser, but not shocked. A good win for Milbank on the road at Aberdeen Roncalli's place, 51-45. I thought this would be a pretty close game, and it turned out to be just that. Garrett Mertens had 15 points. Joe Schulte also dropping in 13 as well for Milbank in the victory. But balance has not exactly been Roncalli's forte. They only had 3 players score in that game on Friday night. Keegan Stewart had 23, Aiden Fisher had 12, and Maddox Miller had 10. So you've got 3 players with all 45 points. You need a little bit more than that, and they just couldn't get the job
done. I think that's a big reason right there why they fell there on Friday. Got to get other people involved. Keegan Stewart did have a big game, but I thought coming into this game, these two teams are very evenly matched. Yep. I think this year we expected a close game. That's what we got, but I'm with you, too. Just got to spread the ball out a little bit more. Only 3 guys scoring could be problematic. It was. You look at what Milbank did. You know, they got more balance. Mertens with the 15, Ajwanga 14, Schulte 13. I'm sure other guys stepped up in big roles. So I'm looking at that and saying, hey, if we get other guys involved, you might have a different result. But I think these two teams are about as even as you could get in the region.
Wouldn't be shocked to see them play each other again at some point in time there in the in that bracket coming up in the region here in the not-too-distant future. Also on the high school side of things from Friday, on the girls' side, Harrisburg, they would clip Aberdeen Central 46-40. Jaylee Hofer had a game-high 21 points. Katie Withers had 12. Lauren Burkhardt, again, continues to do her thing. 11 points and 10 rebounds as Central falls a little bit short against a pretty good Harrisburg team. That's not a bad loss at all.
No, and they actually played a much better second half. They were down big in the first half and made a good effort there in the second half, and you like to see Katie Withers get back on track there with the 12 points. You know, she's had a great season, and when she's scoring, you can kind of tell Aberdeen Central's offense, you know, is a little bit better when she's scoring. So good to see Katie there with the 12 points, and you mentioned it, Burkhardt continues to have a great season, another double-double, but the fall short against a good Harrisburg team, I think that's a building block in the right direction for Aberdeen Central as they get ready for Mitchell tomorrow night at home.
Ironically enough, both Harrisburg teams are now 9-3. The boys were 9-2 going into that Friday affair with Central, and the girls, after that matchup, they get to 9-3 with that victory over the Golden Eagles on Friday night. Mitchell, they've got 2 really good teams. On the boys' side, I think they're 11-1, if memory serves correctly. I got to double check that, but the girls are 14-0, so Central certainly gonna have their hands full tomorrow.
Yeah, both those teams are really having incredible seasons. What I find interesting, though, I think Harrisburg and the boys, at least, they had 1 more loss, but they had more power points than Mitchell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know how all that works, but we'll have to see how tomorrow goes. It's gonna be you're gonna have to play your A game, both the girls and the boys, to come away with wins there against the Colonels of Mitchell.
Mitchell boys are 13-1, and the Mitchell girls are 14-0. So 1 combined loss between both of those Colonels teams. Looks like they've got something cooking down there in Mitchell. Also on the girls' side of things, Harriet Selby, they would defeat Aberdeen Christian on Friday night, 58-34. Steph Albee had 13 points to lead the way for the Wolverines in the victory. Other regional squads of note, you had Webster defeat Redfield 49-41. Harley Johnson had 17. Katie Rozelle had 23 in the loss there for the Pheasants. Sterling Brassfield continues to impress. I know Langford's not having the season that they'd like, but 11 points there for Sterling Brassfield. Nice victory there for Britton Hecla at home. Falkton Falls at home to James Valley Christian. JVC got off to a great start. They led 15-0. Make that 15-1, pardon me, after the game's first 8 minutes, and Falkton just could not play catch-up, really putting a pretty good defensive job on Carly Cotton, only 9 points there.
Yeah, that's a really nice job from JVC and Falkton. I think they battled back, mm-hmm. you know, to cut the game to the 16. My guess is it was, you know, a little bit closer, but JVC just pulled away. And thanks to that first quarter, you can kind of, I guess, take your foot off the gas a little bit, and then you're just, I think, when you get up early like that, you're just trying to get to the finish line. JVC did that.
Can you win a game in the first quarter?
Yes.
I think you can. Sometimes you can. Not always. Easy there, Pete Carroll, but sometimes you can. Elsewhere on the boys' side of things from Friday night, Vermilion, they would defeat Groton 60-51. Lane Teets had 22. Wasn't quite enough. Vermilion just a little bit more balanced. Trey Hansen had 16. Connor Rohrig, a baker's dozen. Ditto for Carter Hansen. Zone Robinson had 11, so pretty good balance there for Vermilion in the victory. Clark Willow Lake wins by 5 at Ben Rifle, 50-45. Your final score there in Sisseton. This is a really nice win for Castlewood, defeating Dawson Boyd, Minnesota, as they dropped to 19-2 on the season. Dawson Boyd does. Castlewood defeats them 49-46. Lane Tweet with 21 points. Feel good about that one, Paul Roche.
Yeah, that's a big win. That's a big-time win against the team that was 19-2, or now 19-1 going into that game. Mm-hmm. And that Dawson Boyd team saw them tukes at the Corn Palace. That's a pretty nice team. So to get a win there, a three-point win, a pretty low-scoring game there, defensive battle, and to pull that one out, that's a really nice win for the Castlewood squad.
Falkton would defeat JVC on Friday night, 56-51. Who needs balance when you've got Lane Cotton? 36 points and 10 rebounds as Falkton earns the five-point victory.
Yeah, it's Lane Cotton, and you're really seeing DeMaria take another step, too. Those two guys have been huge for the Trojans this year. It seems like Cotton's leading the way, and DeMaria's doing a good job. A dozen there last night, the big reason why Falkton's had some success.
Britton defeats Langford 64-38. Dawson Treby had 23, and Jackson Maynard had 18 points as Hitchcock Dulaire up in Sunshine Bible on the road, 61-49. More high school basketball from the weekend on Saturday. Let's go ahead and hit on these quick, like, before we take a commercial break. Girls basketball from Saturday. Let's hit on the DAC 12 and NEC clash. Vermilion, they would handle Aberdeen Round Collie 75-41. Janiyah Cleveland had 17 points, a game high to lead that Vermilion charge. Ava Hansen had 13 for Round Collie, just not quite enough. Del Rapids, they would fall to Clark Willow Lake 46-32. Taya Vig had 12 to lead the way for the Cyclones. Dakota Valley earns a 53-31 victory over Millbank. Ella Otten, a game-high 21 points there. Madison Big over TZ, 61-49. Groton held to just 23 points against Elk Point Jefferson, and that's a really good defensive performance there. I know Groton's having an okay season, but anytime you held somebody under 25, that's impressive.
Yeah, that's a big defensive performance. I was pretty shocked when I saw that score, too, just because, you know, Groton, like you said, having an okay season, but you're going to have to score more than 23 points. It's that simple.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Elsewhere, Hamlin against Lennox. Speaking of matchups that we probably had circled to a certain degree, I know I did. Hamlin against Lennox, that's certainly one of them, and Lennox earns an 8-point victory, 45-37. Carly Kuiper had 14. Ditto for Addison Neuendorf, so they kind of cancel each other out. And Lennox just had just a little bit more offensively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Hamlin, I think they battled in this game or right in it. But like we said, you know, you're going to have to score a little bit more. They just did not in this game. I think it was a pretty close battle there. Lennox just pulled away. They got a little bit more balance, and they come away with an 8-point win there. But Hamlin, a really nice season for them. And, you know, we'll have to see if they can continue to play as well as they have to start this season, as the schedule, a lot of these teams, too, that are right here in February, you're playing a rough schedule. Hamlin's one of those, and let's see how they respond here.
By the way, EPJ's 14-2. Groton's having a little bit better than just an okay season. I want to addend that. You can throw me in jail on that one. What's that old expression? You can admonish me on that one. But a good start for the Groton area squad on their season. They're 11-5. not so much a start as we're kind of winding down here a little bit, but they're off to a good
year. I run into that same problem. I'll be like, hey, coach, having a great start to the season.
Like it's February.
Actually, we only got about 7 games left.
I know, it's crazy, but a very, very impressive victory there for EPJ. And a couple of interesting ones of note here on the girls' side. Sisseton, they fall for the first time this season against Sioux Falls Christian, 70-62. And I want to say it's a surprise, but it's not a surprise. Both of these teams are really, really good, kind of a pick'em game, and Sioux Falls Christian earns the 8-point victory.
Yeah, and Sisseton really struggled from the free throw line in this game, Tukes, and that's why the game wasn't closer. I think if they make more free throws in this game, you're looking at a different score. But these two teams are very evenly matched. Would love to see a rematch later down the road. I think Sisseton, obviously, it's a disappointing loss for them, but they're having an incredible season. If you are Sisseton, you'd rather lose now than later. So I think this is kind of a wake-up call. Hey, you know, let's see how they respond. You got to think that they're fired up after a tough one like that.
Tuke's doctrine.
Free throws.
Make your free throws. That's a big one for sure. On the boys' side of things, Aberdeen Christian, they may be one of the hotter teams in Class B right now. They defeat McLaughlin 50-35. Brooks Jett had 17. Jett Johnson had 15. Connor Furman with 8. Aberdeen Christian, they have not lost since the 9th of January, where they lost to Woolsey Wessington, who's 13-2. So that was a road game as well. So wins against Falkton, Wabe Summit, Harriet Selby, Waverly South Shore, they're 11-5. You beat North Central on the road. You handle Northwestern. You handle your business. McLaughlin's 11-3. So, I mean, don't look now, but Aberdeen Christian has pieced together a really, really good month.
Yeah, they've really played well against good teams. You talked about it. Falkton, 12-3. Wabe Summit, who I saw on Saturday, a really, really good team. Wabe Summit only scored 28 points in that game. That's incredible. And then they beat McLaughlin, who, you know, has got double-digit wins. So playing good against some solid competition. Watch out for Aberdeen Christian, 8-4 now.
And now look out for their matchup tomorrow against Ipswich. I know they've been kind of struggling of late. Can they get back on the right track? So that should be a really, really great matchup on paper between Ipswich and Aberdeen Christian. That will be tomorrow. Other matchups of note on the boys' side of things from this last weekend, you had Wabe Summit and Northwestern for that doubleheader. On the girls' side of things, final score was Northwestern defeating Wabe Summit 54-47. Anna Radigan had 16. And on the guys' side, Wabe Summit defeats Northwestern 63-39. Travion Nealon with a game-high 19 points. What are some of your thoughts from those?
Well, I think Wabe Summit's a really good team on the boys. I tell you what, they really do a good job moving the basketball. And it's really what you see is Jackson Wolber's the point guard. He's the general out there. Dylan Rumps is kind of that sidekick who could shoot. And then Travion Nealon, he's a man against boys down there in the paint. I'll tell you what, he is awesome. He gets a lot of offensive rebounds, and he led the way with the 19 points. And on the girls' side, Northwestern Tukes, this is a young squad. They don't have a senior on this roster, and they jumped out 38-20 at the half. And I'll tell you, Ashley Haven is a really nice ball player, just does everything for them. Also, Tara Blatchford, who's a freshman, she was lights out from three. That team's going to be good as the season moves along. 7-7 with a bunch of underclassmen is really good. Big shout-out to Coach Sparling. He's done a great job there.
I like how you say that Haven's a good ball player, because it's not just basketball, right? I mean, she's been incredible on the volleyball side of things there too. So keep an eye out for that Northwestern squad here in the not-too-distant future. And just one or two more very quickly. DeSmet, they would defeat Sioux Valley 50-44 in overtime. That's a nice win for the Bulldogs. George Jensen with 18 points and 11 boards. Caden Fast had 13. Britt Carlson had 10. DeSmet's like, hey, guys, don't forget about us. We're still the defending champs, three straight. So I know people are kind of looking over the Bulldogs. How, why, I have no idea. They've won three straight championships.
Including me. I've done it before.
I'm not ready to look past them yet. Why would anybody?
No, I think I said earlier this month, I was like, it could be open. B could be open.
I mean, it could be.
It could be.
It could be.
I said, you know, maybe it's not the Smets year. I went on the air and said that, but, you know, until somebody gets the job done, you got to wait and see. But that's a big win for them there in overtime.
What did Ric Flair say? To be the man?
You gotta beat the man.
Woo! So, I mean, DeSmet, they're still the man right now. So, until they lose, well, of course, they got to get to the state tournament first. All these teams have to get there first, but still, looking forward to the be here in about a month or so, a little more than a month or so away, right here in the Hub City. More high school news and notes coming up next on FSA. Stay tuned. Quick segment here on Fox Sports Aberdeen as we're rocking and rolling on this fifth day of the month of February. First full week of the month of February, if you can believe it, even though we've got temperatures approaching 50 coming up here this week, and I'm still not mad about that. You know?
No, I'm not complaining about it one bit.
Not one iota. Certainly not. All right, some high school news and notes from the weekend on the wrestling mats. Aberdeen Central, the girls, they would take on the unofficial South Dakota Girls State Tournament, and they would down Watertown 48-24. They would tie with Canton 36 apiece, and then they would actually fall with via the forfeit there. Lakota Tech would down Aberdeen Central 39-30. For more individual notes at each weight class, you can again check that out on our website. That is on hubcityradio.com. Central Girls would also be in action on Saturday on the mats as well. That would be at the Harrisburg Invite, and they would collectively finish in third place. Katrina Gibson, second at 152. Nina Howard, second at 250. Jasmine Moss would finish in third at 132. And multiple top five finishers there. Visit our website for more details. But again, death taxes and Aberdeen Central Wrestling continues to click forward.
You could pretty much pencil Aberdeen Central Wrestling in the top three, it seems like, of every tournament dual match they have. It's amazing what they've been able to accomplish this year.
They've had a really, really good season. I'm not going to say start to the season. They've had a really good season so far. So check that out on our website for more individualized notes there. Boys wrestling as well with the Warner and Northwestern Quadrangular. Check out the web on the high school ice side of things, I guess you could say. The Aberdeen Wings, they skated past the Austin Bruins with ease on Friday. 6-2, your final score, and all six goal scorers were six different players. So some diverse offense right there from Aberdeen, from the Aberdeen squad, the Aberdeen Wings, that is. And then they would fall on Saturday to that Bruins squad, 5-1. Luke Backel, the only player to find the back of the rope. More notes on the ice. How about the Aberdeen Cougars? On Saturday in particular, or make that Sunday, pardon me, this number blew me away, and I don't know if I've ever seen this before. You always kind of joke about the two-goal lead being the most precarious lead in all of hockey.
Mm-hmm.
How about the 4-0 deficit? This is nuts. The Aberdeen Cougars, they trailed 4-0, came back and won 7-4.
As
they downed Yankton. That was yesterday. Brady Huff and Lance Siefkin each found the back of the rope twice as Aberdeen Cougars came all the way back from a 4-0 deficit and picked up a win. How about that?
You don't see that very often.
No.
You see the 2-0 a lot, but 4-0, you're really putting yourself in a hole, and to score 7 unanswered goals is really, really incredible. Nice win, and they had a nice weekend, too, because they beat Yankton, too. They're 5-1, so came away with the weekend sweep, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Job well done for them against Yankton, like you mentioned there on Saturday. As for the Aberdeen Lady Cougars, they would defeat Brookings on Saturday behind a pair of goals from Alyssa Rorick. 3-0, your final score there. And again, for more details and individual notes, visit our website, hubcityradio.com. Looks like the Cougars actually did fall to Mitchell on Friday, 6-4. So a 2-1 weekend. Certainly nothing too much to shake a stick at, right?
Yeah, 2-1. You can't be mad about that. And to come back from 4-0 on the last game, too, you got to feel really good about that headed into the new week. And quickly on the Aberdeen Wings, to come away with that split there was nice. You know, they just sometimes on the power play, it's killed them this year a couple times. They went 0-8 there on Saturday in that 5-1 loss. You know, sometimes it looks like it's unstoppable. Other times they struggle. That was one time where they struggled.
I was going to say, kind of feels like this season the power play for the Wings has been sort of boom or bust.
Mm-hmm.
It's been really, really good, or it's been really kind of on the struggle bus. And it feels like they were riding the bus there on Saturday.
Yeah, and, you know, they played so well there on Friday. you wish you could carry into that momentum on Saturday. But now Austin and Aberdeen, they've really had some great battles this year. So not surprised really that, you know, these teams got a split out of that.
Yeah, Austin is really, really good for sure. We'll talk some college news and notes when we return. Northern State softball collectively going 5-1. We'll talk some Northern State track and field as our guy set a new program record on the pole vault. We'll talk about that with
Sam
Trimelli. There's only one logical explanation for why that he set a new program record. I think the answer for that is quite obvious. We'll get to that, plus Northern State basketball in St. Cloud. All of that and more is after this. Back on this Monday edition of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial. If you're just dialing in right now for the first time and you have missed our conversations left and right, well, shame on you. Shame on you. But you can check out the full show on our website, hubcityradio.com, following the program. College notes from the weekend, Northern State Wrestling, they would fall in a pair of duels against UMary, just falling a little bit short, 19-15 there at Wax Arena on Friday night, and then falling against Parkside, a top five team, on Saturday, 22-11. For individual notes, visit our website on hubcityradio.com. Northern State softball from the weekend. Boy, did they bring their boomsticks out. My goodness, there was one game in particular. They put up an 18 spot. But first and foremost, the pitching overall really solid. On Friday, Downing Black Hills State 5-2. Lexi Chase going the full game, seven innings, surrendering five hits, only two earned runs, also fanning 11 in the victory there. Kyra Knutson, 3-for-3 with a couple of ribbies. Northern would defeat Sioux Falls. Again, all of these matchups were in St. Cloud under the dome there. Abby Rux going the duration, seven innings strong, striking out three. Ashley Fowski, 2-for-5 at the dish with a couple of runs scored. And Avari Eagle, 1-for-3 with a dinger there as well. A nice 2-0 start there on Friday. And then on Saturday, as I get my papers here in front of me, they would down the likes of Black Hills State again, 5-3. Mackenzie Warner striking out six over seven innings. And also, when the pitching wasn't exactly the greatest, the offense really picked up the slack. They went down Bemidji on Saturday, 18-9. Abby Ruck struck out a pair. Emma Owens was 3-for-4 at the dish with three runs scored. Ashley Fowski, a couple of runs knocked in. She was 2-for-3, 18-9, your final there.
Yeah, and you've just talked about it too, because when the pitching wasn't as good, they said, hey, let's heat up the bats a little bit. 18 runs there in that game against Bemidji State, but a lot of positives to take away from that weekend in St. Cloud. You know, the pitching was really phenomenal most of the weekend, and when you have good pitching, I mean, that's really tough on other teams. Pitching really can be the difference on where you're at the season at the end of the year. So I think when you have really good pitching, you could make some noise. I think watch out for this Northern team here.
Only one loss was against St. Cloud yesterday, 3-2, and Lexi Chase going six innings of good solid work. She struck out five. She also was the lone player on offense, knocking in a couple of runs there. She was 2-for-3 with two RBI. Wolves also defeated Sioux Falls before that matchup, 3-1. So a 5-1 or 5-1 opening start to the season for them. And we got to give some love to our guy. He was on the program on Wednesday during a Wolves midweek. How about Sam Trimelling as he set a new program record, breaking the Northern State record with the pole vault, 5.06 meters, a new program record for NSU up there at the Fargo, the Bison invite there. The Wolves collectively on the guys' side would finish in fourth place, the ladies collectively finishing in ninth place. But big shout out to our guy, Sam Trimelling.
Yeah, awesome. And he was joined us there last week on the Wolves midweek, which, by the way, if you missed that, it's a really great discussion there. Obviously, Sam from England, and that was an awesome having him on there last week. And to see him the weekend after do what he was able to do is pretty cool. Congratulations to Sam.
I think definitely the Sports Hub fired him up. I mean, I'm just going to go ahead and say it out there. We should both take full credit for his performance.
Yep.
He didn't go out there and do anything special. We take credit for all of that, right?
Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe a little bit.
We'll
take like 98% of the credit.
Yeah, it's all right. We could take the credit.
Yeah, he can take the extra like 2% of the credit. So job well done, Sam, and congratulations to you, sir. Also on the college side of things in the NSIC, a couple of matchups of note. Want to hit on this one quick. Like Mankato defeating SMSU on the women's side of things. I thought this would be a really great matchup there on Friday in Marshall. And Mankato, they just laughed past the Mustangs, 87-67. Mankato really looks like that team to beat there.
Yeah, I mean, they are really having an incredible season. And, you know, it's funny, you think that's going to be a tough matchup. They say, nah, we're gonna do our thing. And I'll tell you what, they're going to be a tough team to beat because they do such a good job of turning teams over.
Yeah.
I think they force a lot of turnovers, and that's easy buckets the other way. I think when you look at that Mankato team, that's why they're so successful, because defense turns into offense with them.
100%. Northern State on the weekend, they would collectively go 1-1. I didn't see this coming. I thought that this would be a really nip-and-tuck affair down to the wire with St. Cloud. I didn't see Northern losing by 20 as St. Cloud wins that ball game 75-55. Madeline Bragg had 17. Elena Beneke had 15. But the second quarter was really kind of the difference in this game as the Wolves got outscored 24-8 there. Ashley Sawicki with a game-high 22. But that second quarter, you wipe that away, you're right there. But you can't do that. You still have to play all four quarters and all 40 minutes. And give credit to St. Cloud State.
Yeah, you've really got to, you got to give them credit for what they were able to accomplish there in that second quarter, outscoring Northern by 16 points. You really look at the stats, Dukes. From a scoring perspective, Northern had some pretty nice performances with Bragg, Beneke, and Fiedler, but that second quarter, you just can't get outscored by 16 and expect to win. You're really got an uphill climb, and you know, they battled there, but really nice win by St. Cloud State when it really boils down to.
Yeah, just a lot of late closeouts defensively, and St. Cloud, they're a team when they get hot from downtown, it's like good night nurse. I mean, they are a really good three-point shooting team, particularly at home. They hit 10 of them there on Saturday in that 20-point victory. As for the Northern guys, they couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. They were 0-for-8 from downtown. They finished on a tear, 8-of-16 after that. And they pick up a huge 83-76 victory. Jackson Mone with 62 points in the last two games. He had 31-7. Gus Reedy had 22, including a 25-footer from that far side. That when that went in, I was like, Northern's got this in the bag. They that tied the game at that point in time, but that is a huge win for the Wolves.
Yeah, didn't Gus also reach over 1,000 points too in his Northern career? So congratulations, big shout out to him. But you mentioned it on the broadcast, Tukes. You got to have some Mone magic. He was kind of quiet in that first half, and then in the second half, he just went crazy. That's a big 31-7. They needed all of it, and that's a big win for Northern on the road. I think they were trailing by 14 in that game, so nice job.
That's right. They trailed by as many as 14, and the look to officially go streaking tomorrow in Bemidji, that'll be at 7:30 for the guys right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen tomorrow.